Welcome to the Real Estate Espresso Podcast, your morning shot of what's new in the world of real estate investing. I'm your host, Victor Menashe. On today's show, we're taking a look at the stock market. A number of high-profile commentators have demonstrated that very few professionally managed equity funds have outperformed the market average. Fund managers are active investors. They analyze each company, they interview the CFO and the management team, they perform due diligence on the company, and they determine whether the shares in that company fit within their fund mandate, and then they make an investment decision for the fund's investors. This is what's considered to be an active component of the stock market. The short-term day trading and machine trading is another form of active investing, but we'll put that aside for reasons that will become clear in a moment. The next form of investing is what's called passive investing. This is where you put your funds into an index fund, and there's absolutely no intelligence being applied to the purchase. The index is computed according to a formula, and if there are 500 companies in the index, as there are in the case of the S&P 500, you're buying a tiny sliver of 500 companies simply by investing in the index fund. And there's a lot of evidence that passive index funds have outperformed the active over the longer term. But now passive funds have not been around all that long, but over the history, passive funds have in fact outperformed active funds on average. So if that's true, then why take the risk? Why pay the premium fees associated with a mutual fund and still end up with inferior performance? Tony Robbins has written about it in his books recently, and he's played an active role in pushing small independent investors into exchange-traded funds. Companies like BlackRock, Vanguard, State Street, Invesco, and Charles Schwab are the top five exchange-traded fund issuers by size. Together, they represent about $7 trillion in assets under management. There are a number of flows of capital that represent the stock market, and paradoxically, both can be true at the same time. The lion's share of the volume on a daily basis in the stock exchange is the result of program trading between algorithms at brokerage houses. They're trying to squeeze out micro-profits, pennies from inefficiencies in the market. But these are short-term flows of capital. That means the money doesn't stay in. These positions get closed out in the short term. So they affect price swings in the short term, but not the long term. It's the long money that ultimately determines the rising tide. We could compare the stock market to waves on the ocean. Think of those long positions like the lunar tide, where a single wave that comes in and out twice a day, it's very slow moving, but it definitely raises sea level, at least for a period of time. Then the little waves on the surface, there's many more of them in number than the tides, but those surface waves are more like the program trading. There's lots more of them, but they don't have much of a lasting impact on the movement of water, unless, of course, you have a major storm. The little wind-driven waves don't have a lasting effect on the surface beyond just a few seconds. So when you invest in an exchange-traded fund, this is long investing. This is the rising tide. The fund has no ability to make investment decisions. They take the cash you invested and buy according to the index weighting. So for example, if you invest $100,000 in, say, a Vanguard S&P 500 ETF, the fund manager would buy more of the heavily weighted stock and less of the less weighted stock. That has the effect of amplifying the disparity in market capitalization. So if I compare Microsoft, which today represents about 7% of the market cap in the S&P 500, with, say, General Motors, which represents 0.13% of the index, out of a $100,000 investment, they would buy $7,000 worth of Microsoft and $130 worth of General Motors. The increase or decrease in market cap for Microsoft is being determined by the overall inflow or outflow of capital into the ETF, as compared with individual investment decisions made by fund managers who actually determine whether Microsoft or General Motors is a good buy right now. And maybe GM is a better bargain right now compared than Microsoft. It doesn't matter. They're going to buy $7,000 of Microsoft and $130 of GM regardless. If money is flowing into equities through ETFs, that will push the companies having the largest weight in the index higher. And we see this in the makeup of the S&P 500. There's seven stocks that today are responsible for the majority of the growth of the S&P 500 and 493 that are in fact dragging the index down. And those 493 companies are down on average about 5% since the start of the year. ETFs make up somewhere between 18 to 21% of the total market capitalization. So when money pours in or out of the stock market, these passive vehicles become a base of support. If all of a sudden we were to see people running away from the stock market and start redeeming their units of Vanguard or Charles Schwab ETFs, then the fund manager would have little choice but to sell $7,000 of Microsoft and $130 of General Motors. Microsoft, in that case, would be more impacted by the sale than GM in the case of redemption of units. It's the same weighting going either way, either the purchase or the sale. Now, the ETF industry is relatively new. We've seen growth of ETF investments averaging a compound annual growth rate of about 15% since 2010. In the last 6 years, it's been accelerating. It's a little faster, having averaged an annual compound growth rate of 16%. That's a doubling in size every 5 years. And if this continues, then 40% of the market cap could be ETF investments by the end of this decade. So the question is, what does this mean? Is this really investing? I suppose it is, given that you're putting money to work for you. But when the market cap gets concentrated in a small number of high-flying stocks, what does it really mean for the equity market at large? It's clearly a different market dynamic, one where the decision to invest in a company is not being determined by fundamentals. It's not being determined on whether Microsoft is a good buy right now or not. And for that reason, I consider what's happening with these passive vehicles to be a distortion of value. And history has shown that distortions of value don't persist for the long term. They eventually get found out, they get discovered, and they eventually get corrected. As you think about that, have an awesome rest of your day. Go make some great things happen. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.